shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. A big thank you to Paul Gilmartin. I was on his podcast. It's called The Mental Health Happy Hour. Look for it, because there's stuff that I divulge on this interview with Paul. And what he does, he's a comic, but what he does is he interviews people from the entertainment business, but it's a real in-depth discussion of what makes you, what was your childhood like, and what makes you tick, and what makes you not tick, and what makes you talk, as in tick talk, only tick, T-I-C-K, talk, T-A-L, never mind. All right, we have news to report this evening of a cultural nature, and it occurred at the Coachella Valley Music Festival. Quite a moment, a technological moment, and one that was tweeted and one that went viral, and all of those terms that you hear. Well, those are significant terms because it essentially means that there's something afoot in the culture, and it's boom, it's exploded. This has got really not so much to do with music as it does with the technology that was involved in creating a hologram. And when I say hologram, I mean that in every sense of the Star Trek term. You're looking at a three-dimensional figure moving around and seemingly interacting with real people. And that's what happened in Coachella at the music festival there, where they have 75,000 people out to see a lot of different acts. I think Radiohead played Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, and a hologram of Tupac Shakur. And to talk with us about that is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association and the Western Estates Parent Teachers Organization. Not exactly a person I'm going to get on the air with, Bobby, to talk about Tupac Shakur and hip-hop, but you saw it, right?
Well, we did see it, Phil, and, we're very involved in... we're very much involved in youth culture. We have three sons, and it just so happens that Steve and I are interested in the things that our sons are interested in. We didn't say, oh, let's get interested in hip-hop because that's going to be something our kids are going to be interested in. We just naturally are, I guess you could say, we tend in those directions. We think young. I like to think that we take care of ourselves to the point where we look young, and I don't mean that in the literal sense, but as
young as you can look.
As young as we can look, yeah. And we not a lot of parents do that. I see a lot of parents who really aren't. They're not with it. They're not with what the kids are, dancing to and interested in. And Steve and I are.
So did you? You weren't at the show. I mean, the concert.
No, we were not. We were not in Coachella because of the things that we had. We had commitments here. Otherwise, we would have been there. We go to the concerts, and again, we don't go to these concerts so that we look like we're all young. And we go because it just happens to be something that we like. And
so are you, would you say that your two parents then, you have sons, what are the ages of your sons?
Dylan, Seth, and Justin, and they're all in high school now. Justin is our youngest, he's 14. Seth is a junior at 16, and Dylan is a senior at 17.
And are they all hip-hop fans?
I don't think you'll find a kid today, Phil, that isn't. They love all of it. It changes, as you know. The different artists, they like Lil Wayne, and I don't know, Steve, you've heard
Lil Wayne and Drake.
They like Drake, and groups like that, and Nicki Minaj, they like, and so I think, but the kids like.
Do they like Radiohead?
I think Radiohead is a little older. They're more into, Buck Cherry, I think, and Steve likes Buck Cherry. I like. What's the group that I like? Three Doors Down. I like Three Doors Down. So, who do you like, Steve?
I like Buck Cherry, and also, yeah.
So, I don't think you're going to find a lot of parents that can talk with you the way I'm talking with you right now, that we know these groups. I don't have to go ask my son, Dylan, what's the name of a group that I would like? No, we already know what we like. And
But you weren't at the concert, so I'm wondering how it is that you saw the Tupac hologram.
Well, it was on Ustream.
Yeah, they had the whole show on Ustream.
I see. Okay, so you watched it on video?
Yeah, we watched it on Ustream, and it was wonderful. We did see Radiohead, by the way, on Ustream, but when the Tupac hologram happened, it was, Phil, it's hard to describe this for people that probably don't get it, but, and I tried to talk to some of the parents here when we had our meeting, we had a homeowners meeting this morning, and we're going to have another one tomorrow, and I tried this morning, and probably I shouldn't have. I tried to tell the parents, a lot of the older people assembled, we saw a hologram of Tupac, and they're all, you know, who's Tupac? And I just sort of waved my hand, and I said, let's get down to business.
Well, it's sort of stands the reason they're not going to know, some of them.
I know, but, you know, hope springs eternal, as Steve said.
Yeah, you always hope that maybe one of them isn't so lame.
But you know, a lot of them are lame, and I mean that, you know, in the kindest possible way. But a lot of them are pretty lame. So
when you brought up this hologram, and I want to get back to watching this hologram, but I'm just interested. When you brought this hologram up at your homeowners association meeting, this hologram of Tupac at the Coachella Valley Music Festival, what the response was? They didn't know who he was.
Yeah, it was what you would expect, because parents like Steve and I we're pretty rare. You know, there just aren't a lot of parents like us who are with it and understand and get it about all of the different hip-hop and the music. So I thought, well, let's try it. Let's roll the dice and see if there's anybody in this meeting that Steve and I, just forget about the kids, that Steve and I could actually have, you know, a friendship with, a relationship with, apart from me being the Homeowners Association president, because as the Homeowners Association president, I have to be in touch with everyone, even if they're people that, you know, they don't really get it about a lot of the youth culture.
Yeah, but you got to be friendly with them because they're the kids.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
You have to be friendly with them.
You have to be friendly with them because of the kids. They interact.
Okay.
So I rolled the dice, and I said, Steve and I saw the Tupac hologram. Nothing. So that's when I just backed off.
So you looked out there, and no one understood. Did you bother to, I guess, you know, you could explain it.
Well, you could, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could.
So is that just... It's a waste of your time, I guess. But let's get back to...
It really is a big waste of time.
Let's get back to the hologram. So tell me about it. And from your perspective watching this, it interacted with Snoop Dogg, correct?
Yeah. You just said that sort of like a lot of the parents. I don't mean anything by that. So it interacted. He sounded kind of awkward there.
It interacted in the sense that it was dancing.
But you don't really want to call it because it was Tupac, as we all remember him, dancing. And then Snoop Dogg came out, and he rapped along with the Tupac hologram, who also rapped, but it was together.
I remember Natalie Cole doing Unforgettable with her father, Nat King Cole.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that, but...
What was that again, Phil?
It was Nat King Cole.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Well, he was a very, very big singer in the 50s.
That's way before.
But I mean, the song came out. Natalie Cole is his daughter, is what I'm saying, and she re-recorded this as a duet with her father, who has passed on.
Well, I guess yeah. In a way, it was sort of like that. I don't know the people you're talking about. I don't want to compare it to that because this was Tupac Shakur and Snoop Dogg. This was monumental. And I don't know what you're talking about, whether that...
Well, it certainly was not a hologram. What it was to bring to life Nat King Cole for one more go-round, along with the voice of his daughter. It was rather moving. It was significant. Here's his daughter singing with him. He's passed on. So the image, or excuse me, the illusion, I guess, of him being alive.
Well, it's a recording, though, right?
Yeah, they recorded it.
Yeah, it's a recording, but then so is the Tupac hologram.
Well, but the difference is you're not going, oh, look, that's a recording. You're going, oh, my God. Because when I saw it, and you can ask Steve, I remember I called out to Steve. I said, Steve, and he came running in. And I was feeling, I could feel my heart racing. I felt my hands getting a little clammy. And I literally had to hold on to my husband for support. I thought I was going to not faint, but I just had that sense of, my God, I'm looking at history. Am I really here? Am I real?
Yeah, that's something you can't explain to a lot of parents here.
A lot of the people that live here just don't really get it about, you know, being with it as a parent and...
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about it with Bobby and Steve Dooley here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Hang on, Bobby and Steve, as they are discussing with us, being the only two parents there at Western Estates and maybe in their kids' school that sort of get it about hip-hop music. They like a lot of it. They listen to a lot of it, I guess. And this past weekend, a technologic first, I believe... Tupac Shakur was on stage at the Coachella Valley Music Festival as a hologram. Now, this man has been dead and buried for many years, over a decade, and yet there he was, hologram style, on stage, and it was quite a conversation starter around the internet over the weekend. Our number is 877-876-7445. If you're one of those parents that would have stared at the Dooleys with your jaw open like, what do you mean by a hologram of Tupac? Or maybe you get it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us on the line from Western Estates, California, as we talk about the Tupac Shakur appearance as a hologram. And Bobby, you wanted to make a point about the talk radio audience?
I'll do it. The point that I wanted to make with your audience, Phil, and a lot of the talk radio that I do, I was on the Ken Burmeister show on KABC, was it?
Oh, sir.
And you really have to slow down, and I'm not saying talk radio audiences are not intelligent, but culturally, I find a lot of them are not up to speed, and then... when you put on top of that the fact that I'm a parent, Steve is a parent, and there may be other parents out there who are really very much with it in terms of the youth culture. We have the kids to our house. We let our kids listen to hip-hop because, you know, we like it too. We have moral dilemmas. We want to remain friends with our kids, and we want to remain friends with our kids' friends. You know, we want our house to be the house that the kids come to. Does that mean, and please understand what I'm saying here, Phil, because it really, you know, it's something that needs to be heard very carefully. Does that mean that we tolerate a little bit of, I wouldn't call it drug use.
What's that about marijuana?
The marijuana use, yeah, weed, as the kids call it, or kush, or chronic. The kids will say, we want to blast up. The kids will say, herb. Those terms. We use the term herb.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. You tolerate the smoking of weed?
I don't want to say that we do. I don't want to say that we don't. What we do is we don't come down on the kids. Like, you know, like the kids will say, like the man.
Yeah, we don't help us down on them like the man.
And we don't...
I'm having a hard time hearing your husband. I didn't hear you, sir.
What Steve basically said was, we don't bust down on the kids like the man.
Like the man? Like the police?
Like the police, yeah. Where do you draw the line when you are a very relevant parent, when you are very much very relevant, and you're friends with your kids, Where do you draw the line? Where do you say, you know what, I don't want you to smoke what is really a very harmless drug, the herb.
Well, I mean, harmless drug. First of all, regardless of whether it's a harmless drug...
No, hold on for that, because, you know, and you know that I love you, Phil, but when we came on the program tonight, we really didn't want to be lectured to, and here's why. Let me just say...
Well, I'm not lecturing. I'm giving an opinion.
No, but here's why. Let me tell you. We're pretty confident in our opinions. I know a lot of people need to learn, and a lot of people still need to figure out what's going on.
No, we're not like
that. We're not like that. And so we're very grateful for the ability to, I guess, be clear enough and to see our way and to be able to say, you know what, I get it about hip-hop, and I get it about herb, and if the kids smoke it around me, it's going to be okay. I would hate to see these kids smoke beer around some of these adults that I know.
Yeah, well, they'd call the police.
Yeah, these adults would probably either call the police or would be just degenerate alcoholics. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. They call the police. That sounds like the thing that anybody would do if they saw the law being broken, especially. Is this at your house?
Where?
When you let kids smoke weed, are they smoking weed at your house?
You know, we don't want to get into that because I'll tell you why, Phil.
Well, I don't blame you because, I'm going to take that as a yes.
No, you can't take that as a yes because I didn't say yes. I said I'm not going to discuss that.
If I say to you, do the kids smoke weed at your house, and you say I'm not going to discuss that, I dare say people are going to take that as a yes.
Well,
no,
you, Mr. Henry, the moderator of the show.
You be the moderator of the show.
What do you mean to be the moderator of the show? What do you want me to say? Do you want me to say that?
Well, I would expect you to say Ms. Dooley did not say yes. She didn't say no. What she said was, I don't want to discuss that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us here from Western Estates. Let's get Lloyd on the line. Lloyd, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, Phil, I've enjoyed your program as usual, and we always listen to it. We're on our way to a rosary this evening for a very dear man, Bill Tootin, who died and was a Navy buddy of mine in Korea. And I just want to mention his name.
Who is the man?
And I'm sorry?
Who is the man's name that you said?
And who am I speaking with?
This is Bobby Dooley.
Bobby Dooley.
Yes, well, I called in to speak to you, ma'am, about the use of marijuana on your property. We have a property line.
Yes, I wanted to know who the man was.
Okay, but you need to back off your phone, Bobby.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The man that died?
Yeah, who's the man? He said the old guy died.
Yes, some old guy. He was a Korean War buddy of mine from the United States Navy, Bill Hubbard, a very dear friend.
Oh, did he die in the war?
No, he did not die in the war.
He just died now. They're going to a rosary for the man tonight. They're on their way to a rosary.
I'm not familiar with that.
We don't know what that is. I'm sorry, sir.
Are you Catholic?
No.
Well, I'm not either, but Bill was, and this is what Catholics do before there's a formal burial.
Yeah, the body stays out with an open and everything?
What did you ask me, sir?
Is the body out?
Do they keep the lid open for the 2 days?
You know,
Hold on for a minute, Lloyd. I'll get back to you. Those are questions that you don't need to ask, Ms. Dooley. It says a rosary is a Catholic, it is a form of a memorium to a person who's passed on, people say the rosary as the casket is there. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it isn't. And then there is a formal funeral either the day or the next day after that. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on youth culture and being a hip or with it parent. They like Tupac, and they saw the hologram, and the other parents at Western Estates don't get it. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What they do, right?
No, I don't.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I want to get back to Lloyd here and finish up his phone call. So, sir, you wanted to continue your point. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. My comment was simply this. I don't think the smoking of this woman calls it the herb or whatever you call it, it is not appropriate. And it's illegal, and let me underline the word illegal, to...
We understand that. We understand that.
Yeah, you know, let somebody, you know, come around the corner and narc on it.
What do you mean by narc? You have to be... You don't know what narc means.
No, I know what it means, but you've got to act like adults. You can't act as if you're standing on the playground, you know...
Well, it's not a playground. The kids are high school... You really have, are you, and you don't sound as if you are, but do you listen to the hip-hop?
No, I don't listen to hip-hop. I don't listen to that. I listen to the music that I listen to.
What do you listen to?
Well, that's not germane to the topic, sir. And
it's not what?
It's not germane, and I agree with him. It's not relevant.
Well, that's not about bebop. That's good heroin.
I beg your pardon, sir?
I said bebop.
The bebop musicians, they did heroin.
There was a few of them that monkeyed around with that, but they weren't all drug addicts. I think it's wrong to say that because these jazz guys that I listened to as a young man, some of them might have smoked, you know, marijuana, or they used heroin, as you say, but that's not all of them, as opposed to now... Isn't it most of them?
That would be extreme, too. Lloyd, I got to get going.
Well, my point is I think these people are irresponsible.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your opinion, but I just don't think, you know, I don't even know if it's worth it to talk to that man. Because
yeah, he sounds old.
He just sounds a little old.
Well, you know what? He may be old, but you know, there's a lot of grandparents that are raising their teenagers. They're raising the kids of their children because, you know, it's more and more we see that. So let's not make that assumption, you know, that old people...
What do you mean they're raising the children of their grandkids?
No, many grandparents find themselves taking in their grandchildren because their children, the parents of those children, are drug addicts. Losers, bums, slobs. Who knows what happened to them?
But he said that.
You know what I'm saying. The parents of the children, the grandchildren. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go over to Hazel on the Phil Hendry Show. Hazel, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Excuse
Hi.
My voice. I have pneumonia, but I had to get out of bed to
yes, ma'am.
To contradict these pompous, patronizing people. You know, I listen to you every night. Now, I hardly ever agree with you, but I listen because you're so interesting. These people didn't know who
Thank
the Poles
you.
Were. I doubt if they would know Tchaikovsky or Chopin or any others, yet they scoffed at anybody who doesn't know about a thug who got murdered. But forget about his reputation. We're not talking about him. If I lived in their condominium or where
cruel.
They live, I would
move
so fast. How could anyone
mm-hmm.
stand talking to them?
Mm-hmm.
They're just impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so know-it-all that you mm-hmm. want to vomit. And that's, I know what that made
I beg your pardon.
So forgive
I beg
me,
your pardon.
I can't do
I beg your pardon.
Woman. She's absolutely ignorant, and
well,
I hope
you don't know about
grow up all
the
right,
modern
but,
culture.
You know, she's a
you
moron.
You don't know about modern culture.
And thanks for listening, Phil.
You don't,
bye.
You don't know about modern culture. How rude of her just to talk and not even talk to me.
God, she doesn't have the guts.
You don't have the guts. And I don't know, Phil, if you ever remember a film that was done by Nevada Smith.
You mean the movie was Nevada Smith?
Yeah, what the...
Steve, do it.
Yeah, at the very end, Carl Malden goes, you're yellow, you haven't got the guts.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, I have seen Nevada Smith.
At the end, Carl Malden yells to, who is it, Steve?
Steve McQueen,
and he says, you're yellow, and I know, Steve, you wrote it out. You're yellow, you haven't got the guts.
That's what that lady.
That, exactly. That woman that I just spoke to reminds me of that film where,
Yeah, I know. Steve McQueen's riding away, and he's just shot Carl Malden in the knee. So it's like a scene of torture, and he won't kill him. He won't put him out of his misery, and that's when Carl Malden yells at him and says, you haven't got the guts to kill me, and trying to get him to kill him, and he won't do it. 877-876-PHIL.
So you're familiar with the movie?
Yes, I'm familiar with it. I don't think you could apply it to that phone caller, but I mean, if, you know, I guess we're all entitled to our opinions. Here is Michael. Michael, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Phil. Thanks.
Hi.
Well, you know, nobody should condemn people, but, you know, one of the basic parts of the framework of learning is reinforcement, and children crave, whether they be adults or adults, they crave it, be it negative or positive. And in order for you to achieve that, which should be, I would think, your main priority, but you seem very, you know, wanting to be a big part of your children's life. You can be their friends, but it's so much more to just be their parent. I mean, you're trying to be this other age, this cool parent, and everything's so slick and whatnot. And, but I mean, I know Tupac Shakur, and I know Nat King Cole, and I know Tchaikovsky. I mean, I'm probably the same age as you. I'm 52. You know, and as far as that elderly gentleman who called, the thing he has above you and above me is wisdom, which comes from all the mistakes you make, in a fully lived life.
He was not aware of the fact that a lot of the, what was it, Steve?
Bebop.
A lot of the jazz musicians of his era used drugs.
It doesn't matter. I think jazz. They smoked. They smoked Mary Jane. They called it back then. Whatever. Or
what did they call it?
Called Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Forever. You know.
Yes.
Well, that's what they call it. Yeah. A thousand names for it. Doesn't really matter. You know. But guard what you say, especially on the open airways, about illicit activities that your parents.
You got to watch that language there, Michael. But I agree with you. I agree with you, and...
What do you agree with? We're trying to do something for these kids that they don't have, which is an adult that's with it. And
when you have anybody... If you are letting anyone smoke dope on your property, y'all... Lawsuits? Felony arrest? My God!
You could be a complicit. Am I still on the air?
Yes, you are, sir.
We are not waving it around.
Listen, if you want to be something for these kids, be an example that they can emulate and grow to respect. Not that they grow to end up thinking, well, these adults do that. It's okay for me to do that. And then they find themselves arrested. And who's their reference point? You. And you can name them as complicit in aiding and abetting, the reckless endangerment of a minor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really.
We have a rap session with them.
You'll find yourself arrested. Stay clear of that. You're not doing anybody any favors. As your children grow older,
you're going to
find that you're an embarrassment.
Well, I don't know if you ever rap with your kids. We do.
I raised four of them. I was a stepfather to four kids. You know, I talk to them. Yeah, but I let them know where I stand. You know, I don't have to be the cool dad that lets them get away with all this kind of crap with their friends.
man.
I think it's not crap. I appreciate what you're saying, Michael. I really do, but I don't know how to explain it. It's just that we are with it.
When you say with it, I don't know what that means. This gentleman has taken it from beyond with it. He's taken it into the level of parenting. You can be with it. You can be the squarest, lamest person in the world, you know.
What do you mean by that?
Look, at my best friend, his mother was a waitress, and she came home every morning wearing her Denny's uniform. And she raised five kids, and they all turned out fantastic. They're all great kids. They love and worship their mother. She was the furthest thing from hip. She was a Denny's waitress, man, and she drank her Coors beer at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God, and you're telling us we can't have herb?
About what?
What she's drinking in the morning.
She got off work at 7 o'clock in the morning and had her beer, which was her little relaxation. The point I'm trying to make is she wasn't what I would call hip.
I don't understand. She's sitting there drinking beer. You have...
This is a woman. Listen, Michael, thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is a woman that just got off work, working really, really hard, and wanted to have a beer.
What's that got to do with it, being with it?
She wasn't with it. She just happened to be a really good mom. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, so I'm a really good mom, okay? Wow.
What's that mean?
Oh, boy.
I didn't mean to offend you.
Well, what you're saying is essentially this. Because Steve and I dress in a manner where we're comfortable, I'm comfortable wearing a little brief top. Does that make me a slut? No. Do they go, oh, Mrs. Dooley, wow, you know, she's got a nice body or whatever they're going to say? Sure they do. Does that mean I'm sleeping with them? No.
Okay, so now we're getting into an area here now where you're saying...
Phil, don't, no, please don't flatter yourself. You're not getting into some new investigative area. I wear a little brief top, and sometimes I wear a small bikini bottom, because that's how I'm comfortable. And some of the boys in Dylan's class will look at me and go, wow, you know.
Yes, yes.
I mean, God, look at that.
Yeah, she's hot.
She's hot. Am I flattered by that? Of course I am. Would I actually take these boys up on their offer? Of course not. Well, why are you pausing? Yeah, is it like you're waiting for me to say yes?
No, I'm a little bit... I don't like the way you put things. Let me just put it that way. I'm going to take a break here, folks. 877-876-PHIL. What?
You don't like the way I put things? Oh, my...
Right, I got
to put them on hold, bud. Don't put them back up in the air if I'm done talking to them. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with our final segment with Bobby and Steve Dooley when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Is it more important to be a good parent or to be a hip and with-it parent who knows who Tupac is and saw his hologram at Coachella? The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Being that kind of person, you know.
Being all right, so you're right, we've gotten off, and welcome back to the Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-7445. We've gotten away from the topic of Tupac Shakur, because I did want to talk about that.
Well, Phil, we saw the hologram. It was amazing. Seeing Tupac again was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing because of what Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I know. It was on stage. I saw...
Did you say you saw a film of it? You said you saw a video of it?
Yes, I did.
That is, and I don't mean to say anything, but that's impossible.
Why is that impossible?
Steve, you know that...
Yeah, it's impossible to see a video of it because it was a hologram, and that's not going to show up.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's the funniest thing.
No, it's not impossible because I was just watching it. Before the show.
That might have been just a film recreation.
Probably was a recreation.
No, it wasn't. They didn't say anything about it being a recreation. They said it was a video of the Coachella performance of Snoop and this hologram of Tupac.
No, because you see, it's impossible to capture a hologram on video Because, I don't know. I like it. It's an old vampire thing. You know, you can't see a vampire in a mirror. And
yeah, it's kind of like, you know.
No, I don't know about vampires.
Well, I know. No, but I'm just saying it's impossible to.
I'm sorry. I don't understand that. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know why you would say it's impossible to see a hologram on video. I honestly don't. Here is Jonathan. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Well, that's my understanding.
Is this Jonathan? I guess he's gone. 877-876-PHIL? Or who is this? 877-876-7445. So the hologram was what?
The hologram was of Tupac, but you can't see it on videotape.
Yeah, if you see it on videotape, you know, what that means is you're going to be probably looking at a film recreation.
No, because they didn't say anything about it being a film recreation. It was the actual... It was the actual hologram, okay? And it was the actual hologram that was actually there on the clip that I was watching.
Well, I can tell you that we were watching it live, and it was really amazing. I know there's a lot of adults that are going to say, oh, I saw that too, oh, I saw that too. And I really question whether they did or not, because... Do they like his music, you know? Because would they be watching it if they didn't like his music? If they did like his music, then okay. But I can question a lot of adults and say, oh, you like Tupac? And they'll go, well, no, we watch it just to stay abreast of what the kids are looking at. And that's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, that's a dead giveaway on that.
Well, all right. I mean, fine. But that was just one part of what we were talking about. The other part of what we were talking about was the appropriateness of you smoking weed, of you wearing this bikini top, of you being involved with your kids the way that you are in this inappropriate way.
Well, that's a bit, Bill. We didn't come on the program to talk about that in a way that we would be put down for.
You thought I would praise you.
We thought we would get some praise from other parents, but we recognize that being on a talk show...
I'm glad if people don't get it.
Being on a talk show what?
I don't want to say.
The people that listen don't get it about...
I don't get it about Tupac and the Chocella.
Not Chocella, it's...
Chocella.
No, it's not Chocella either, oh my God.
Coachella?
Coachella,
okay. 877-876-7445. Margaret Gray is a longstanding contributor to our program. She is a journalist. She's an entertainment journalist. She's on the line here from Santa Monica. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I'm doing very, very well. And good evening, Bobby. Yeah, hi. And Steve, right?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm a journalist. I'm an entertainment writer. I've heard you on Phil's show before. Do you do a lot of the writing about the movies and everything, right? Let me tell you something, honey. I do writing about all kinds of things. And I'm here to tell you that, first of all, yes, thank you, Phil. You did correct the lady. It is not Chocella. Chocella would be considered obscene. Well, I know what Chota means.
Yeah, we know what Chota is.
Oh, you do? Then you would know that it's not called Chocella. We thought it was called Chocella because of the youthfulness of it. Well, you thought the promoters called it that to relate more to the youth. All right, on to another point. What, you don't agree with that? No, I don't agree with that. I happen to know the people that promote it, and they didn't call it Chocella. They call it Coachella.
Well, we know that now.
There's a thing. I know that. But on to another point, if you don't mind. The next point I wanted to make about the Tupac hologram. Yes, you can see it live. Yes, you can see it on videotape. And the reason why you can see it on videotape is because it is something that's actually being seen by the naked eye. Do you understand?
No.
Then, Steve, I'll do it, Steve, okay? God. Thank you. If you could get that husband under control. Excuse me? If you could get your husband under control, it'd be wonderful. My husband is under control, thank you very much. Well, he doesn't sound like it. Well, you know, I'd love to hear your husband. In fact, I think I have. You want to hear my husband? Get over here, Frank. I have heard your husband. Did you turn his oxygen on? Oh, why? Oh, you are a smartass. Get over here.
All right, ladies. Let's get back to talking about this.
Hold on. Get over here, Frank.
Yeah.
Steve?
Hi.
Okay, Frank, these are the Dooleys.
Hi.
Hello, I'm Bobby.
Yeah, that's Steve.
Hi, I'm Frank.
And, okay, now your turn. My turn for what? You can introduce your husband to me and Frank. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to lower myself. What did she say? You're not going to lower yourself.
Okay, this is a little stupid.
Hold on, Phil, for Christ. Oh, God.
Yeah, it looks like that's a commercial.
Would you please have your husband, would you introduce us to your husband? Have that much dignity, please. No, I won't.
You're not going to do it.
All right, then I'll do it. Mr. Dooley, my name is Margaret Gray. Frank, where'd you go? Frank!
Yeah, what is it?
Get over here. Mr. Dooley? Mr. Dooley? Is the host there? Is the host there? Is the host of the show there? God.
Phil Henry.
Is Bobby Dooley there? No.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and what are you looking at, bud?
That's when the spaceship flew up.
I told him I don't like it. It's disturbing.
Well, what is that?
That's they're showing about when they went to the moon and everything that blowed up.
When they went to the moon, everything that blowed up, huh? So this, in other words, is...
Phil, that is the Challenger, for God's sake. Why are we being forced to look at that?
No, that's not the Challenger.
Yeah. I think I know what I'm looking at when I see the Challenger blowing up.
Then why would they have John Glenn sitting there smiling and laughing?
I don't know, because, well, he's a Democrat, isn't he?
Oh, he's a Democrat, so it must be okay.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. You're saying John Glenn. Who's John Glenn?
John Glenn's an astronaut, man. He was an astronaut. He orbited the Earth.
What do you mean, orbited?
Orbited. O-R-B-I-T-E-D.
You didn't say that. You said orbited.
No, it sounded like warbited, Phil.
Oh, okay, it sounded like warbited. All right, I'm sorry, guys. It's orbited, not warbited. If I'd said orbited, do you know what that means?
No.
Okay, so it wouldn't have mattered. I could have said warbited, I could have said orbited, I could have said borbited.
What about that norbit? Yeah, well, if you said norbited, I would have understood, because that's an Eddie Murphy movie. But you didn't say that.
Well, what are you crying for? Look at this guy.
You know, you have spoiled these guys rotten with your... explaining everything to these two imbeciles... whose heads are, they're much like the ping pong ball. There is a firmness and a resilience, and yet the emptiness is so cold and lonely, you know?
Okay, Margaret, that's great.
What is it with you? Every time I say something, you lunge back in your seat, grab a piece of paper, and go, okay, Margaret, what is that?
Because I want to cut you off, and I want to just move. All right, I want to move, and I want to groove, and I want to get into the hour, and I don't want a whole lot of blah, 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 because we're starting to do that. All right? So I had to explain to these guys what orbit means. It ain't norbit, and it ain't warbit. I had to tell them who John Glenn was. And I also had to explain to you that that wasn't the Challenger blowing up. Just so I could get into this hour, just so I could begin to get Harvey on the line.
Oh, I didn't. Is Harvey way? Is he holding on?
Yes, we've got Harvey hanging on.
All right, Phil, but you know something? I just want to say one thing. Yeah, what you just said there, basically this, I had to explain to everyone how I'm right and they're wrong.
Yeah, that's what you did do.
You know? Oh, okay, Margaret. Well, you know, every hour I've got to explain how I'm right and everyone's wrong.
Well, in this instance, I was right.
What's that chimpanzee doing?
That's what they put up in outer space before they put anybody in outer space.
They put a monkey in there?
Yeah, they put a monkey in there.
That's what they did, and I don't approve of it.
but apparently they felt that the animal, the chimpanzee, would be better at course correction. I don't know what that was about.
Wait. No.
Yes. The monkey that they put into space, they felt would be better at firing course-correcting jets than a human. And
how could a monkey be better at that than a human being?
Because if you think about it, Phil, a monkey is a dumb animal that will take direction. It will take direction. You tell a monkey to do something, it does it. You tell a human being to do something, and there's 500 different ways the human being will do it.
Well, human beings can also take direction. Human beings may freelance, but when you tell them this is how I want it done, they'll do it.
Really? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. You're talking about men that were in the military. You're talking about Navy pilots, Marine pilots. They're saying, okay, you do this. You don't do that, you don't fly again.
Big wow.
Yeah, but why is that going to be anything, a big deal?
These guys live to fly in the space mission. That was their whole point. Didn't you read the right stuff?
Yeah, I read part of it, and then I believe I threw it into our swimming pool. It was so deadly dull. So, yes, I read part of it until I threw it into our pool.
Oh, well, that was... Okay, great. Well, if you'd continued reading it, Margaret, even though it was deadly dull, you would have found out that the right stuff is what they called what a guy had when he was a great pilot, and they wanted to test the right stuff. They wanted to know if they had the right stuff, and the only way they knew is if they continued to test themselves against the most sophisticated and advanced vehicles that flew. And for test pilots, for guys that flew for a living, the furthest edge of experimental aircraft, the furthest edge that a pilot could take himself was into the space program. They wanted to be on board that rocket as it was taking off. That was the next step. And they made a whole big thing, or Tom Wolfe made a whole big thing, in the book about how Chuck Yeager and those guys up at Muroc Air Base felt suddenly left out. They felt like they'd blown it. They felt like they'd made a big mistake when they mocked the space program and said those guys were all a bunch of, you know, they were no better than chimpanzees. So,
well, I mean, in a way, they were right, because they were no better than a monkey. A monkey was far superior than Alan Shepard, far superior than Gus Grissom, far superior than John Glenn. And Phil, if you read the part of the right stuff that I did read, was when Gus Grissom fired the bolts early.
Which has never been proved. That poor man, you know, Gus Grissom lost his life on the launch pad, okay?
Phil, I'm not going to disrespect him. What I'm trying to say to you is this. All right, so the theory is he fired the bolts early. An ape would have had the patience and the good sense to wait for the green light.
Yeah, you know what, folks? As she said that, she's got a straight face.
Yeah, but what's wrong with it?
An ape would have had the patience and the good sense.
What I'm saying, if you listen to me...
Margaret.
Are you listening to me, please?
Yes.
If you put a monkey, an ape, a baboon, anything, an old world remus, I don't care what you put in there.
What about a ringtail?
A ringtail, whatever. And you tell it, now, you blow those bolts when I tell you to blow those bolts, because I'll tell you something right now, ape. It's a cold world out there, and it's a one-way ticket back to the jungle. It's a cold world, blood.
Yeah.
It's a cold world, blood. So, making a racial reference, huh?
I beg your pardon.
Is that what she did?
Yes. Yes, she did.
I did not. I excuse me.
Robert, don't.
That pisses me off to say that.
I did not make a racial reference. I said it's a cold world, blood, as in homeboy. Well, I guess that's worse.
Yeah, that is worse. You want to go to the bathroom?
I need to change my tampon, yeah.
Oh, that's just fantastic. Thank you for that.
Well, you deserve it.
She right about a monkey?
No, she's not right about the monkeys. What, are you kidding me or something? Oh, yeah, we'd much rather have an ape in there because he takes direction better. Plus, he'll know when to blow the bolts on that. What happened to Gus Grissom, for you folks that are listening? Gus Grissom, God rest his soul, when he was one of the original Mercury pilots, this is before he and those poor men, the other two astronauts, lost their lives on the launch pad in January of 67. They were part of Apollo 1. That was the moon phase. He was in Mercury. He landed in the water. Everything was going great. And it has been theorized and sort of immortalized, if you will, in the film that Gus Grissom somehow panicked and blew the explosive bolts on his hatch early, thus allowing seawater to get into the vehicle, and they lost the space capsule. They were able to save Gus Grissom's life, but in the world of science, astronauts, and the very He-Man world of test pilots, it's almost preferable that you drown and you save the vehicle, because that had all of the data. You know, of course they saved his life, and I don't think it's ever been verified, you know.
But I'm saying he's some kind of chicken?
They were basically saying he was a chicken. Yeah, he panicked. He couldn't wait for the guys to give him the heads up. Gus Grissom, for his part, said, no, I did not blow any explosive bolts. They blew on their own. I didn't do anything. I can well imagine them doing that.
Yeah, what do you mean explosive bolt?
This was before somebody had the bright idea, which was basically this. Hey, why don't we make a hatch that you can just release from the inside? You know, why do we have to have explosive bolts? Or on the very, very early versions of the Mercury vehicle, you had to unscrew bolts to, you had to literally take a screwdriver or a torque wrench to get the damn door off. I mean, that's how secure it was. So, you know, I frankly believe Gus Grissom's story that the bolts blew prematurely. I guess it made for a better story that he panicked. It also was a little bit of a stain on his record for a while, but it didn't blow him out of the astronaut corps. He remained in the astronaut corps and eventually, you know, was promoted to the Apollo program. But it was there that.
What do you mean lost his life?
There was a fire.
Oh.
There was a fire in the Apollo vehicle on the launch pad. It was simply a test. They were testing the systems. They were not doing anything other than a dry run. And the wiring, some wiring caught fire. Apparently the oxygen in the capsule itself just went away. No, it was an oxygen-rich environment. So it was just a flash fire that killed these poor guys. And there you go.
Well, that was a very uplifting story, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, thanks for the smile.
Well, you guys asked me, didn't you? All right, we'll be right back. Is Margaret coming back?
Miss Gray, did you get your tampon? Would you shut up, please?
But don't ask her that. We'll be right back. Harvey Wireman coming up to talk with us a little bit more about the world of the, you know, what's happening in France with the Islamic protests, and maybe we'll get a little information from him as well on some other news. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret.
Yeah, but I think I want to know what you're doing. The audience wants to know.
I'm writing a tweet, if you want to know. I'm writing a tweet.
You're writing a tweet? Why? It looks like you're writing a book.
I'm trying to write a funny tweet, okay? Because Dan just told me about the Space Shuttle Endeavor, folks. For those of you who are looking at Phil TV and HD, forgive me. I just flashed momentarily a picture of the homepage of our website, philhenryshow.com. We encourage you to get a backstage pass and join us online and download over close to 5,000 hours of material of our radio show. 5,000 hours, over 10 years worth of material, as well as video casts, as well as interviews, as well as other webcasts that we've done, as well as our news feed. It's quite a treasure trove of new media, digital media, electronic and broadcast media for you at philhenryshow.com. Now, what was your question?
My question, and I think and by the way, Phil, I've got the lyrics to the Le Morceau, and I would like to sing it before the night is out. Oh my, what is with the...
Yeah, Murray, that wasn't respectful.
You were not being respectful, Phil.
What is it all of a sudden when you two guys are big fans of hers? What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, you've lost your little rooting section. Is that it?
No, we still care about Phil, but why don't hear you do Le Morceau?
Thank you very much, bud. I want to do Le Morceau, and I was led to believe by David G. Hall that I'd be able to do those things without interference from you, if you don't mind.
Yes, I do mind. Everything you do on the airwaves here will be cleared through me.
Of course, Phil. I just simply said that was my... That would be my druther, as they say.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do. Now, I'm writing a tweet.
Well, what is it?
God, you know, you really...
What is the tweet, for God's sake, or I call up David Hall?
Well, now I'm not going to tell you, okay?
Get a call, because I'm going to call Mr. Hall.
What is it with you guys? All of a sudden, you're going to call Mr. Hall? She's calling the shots around here? What is your tweet? Can't you wait at least until I write it and then get it on the site? Is that okay?
No, I want to know what you're writing in your tweet now.
I'm saying the space shuttle is... I was going to tell you, Margaret, really calmly and not yell, but you're all just, you know...
I'm all what?
You're all like, what are you doing? And, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that was articulate. God, you know, you sounded like the Hunchback of Notre Dame there. You went...
Yeah, you did, sort of.
You did. You sounded as if you had an ill-formed palate. Did you hear that, Phil? Did you hear yourself do that?
No, I did not, Margaret. Why don't you tell the audience how I sounded like I had a speech impediment, maybe from a cleft palate?
I did not say a cleft palate. I did not say that. All right, if you look at the renderings of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, he didn't have a cleft palate. What he did have was a misshapen nose, which I would think would affect the sinuses. God.
You're the only woman I know that can say completely off-the-wall, weird and inappropriate stuff, and I feel guilty.
Well, maybe you have a reason to feel guilty.
Anyway, my tweet. The space shuttle is landing at LAX and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street route.
Wait, what was the Dan Northcraft reference?
Dan told me this. He gave me this information.
Do you have to yell?
Yes, I do. When you keep butting in, yes, I do.
Take it easy, Phil. You're going to stroke out, man.
Yeah, you got to take it easy, Phil. You're going to have a heart attack, man. Your health.
What are you, you know, you guys are really cracking me up. You guys treat me like I'm Grandpa Henry, man. I could beat both of your asses. You know that, right? You know that.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying, man.
No, don't give me this, your health. If I wanted to right now, I could kick both your asses. Now, that's how I feel.
Pretty sure, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And you guys treat me like old man Henry, huh?
Just want to make sure, man, you know, not have oxygen.
Yeah, because remember when you needed oxygen?
You mean when I had pneumonia?
They're just looking out for you, Phil, that's all.
Okay, you know what, that's fine, but I don't like this whole your health, Phil. Space shuttle is landing at LAX Friday, and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street.
You need some glasses?
No, I don't need any glasses. To the Science Museum and Expo Park. And then, this was my funny line, by an invisible man.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's because you guys were butting in and blah, 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 and you didn't let me get it out and time it out because it was really a funny line. I'll say it again. The space shuttle is landing at LAX Friday and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street route to the... What, bud?
Can you hold on for a minute?
What do you want me to hold on to, man?
No, just hold on for a second. Okay, go.
What, do you want me to start it all over again?
Yeah.
The space shuttle is landing at LAX on Friday, and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street out to the Science Museum and Expo Park by an invisible man. Yeah, very funny.
Perfect, bud. Good timing.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah? That's really interesting. That's very funny.
All right, fine. You got your crazy... Can you hold on for a minute? Okay, go.
Yeah, well, you got to make sure that her cricket...
Oh, is that what you had to do, man? Well, thank you very much.
Well, I still don't get it, and the point that I'm making is simply this. You lord it over people... Well, never mind.
Yeah. You know, Margaret, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell this to David Hall. You have been a huge impediment to this show for two nights running.
Here we go.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do this.
Oh, you know, no, I haven't even gotten warmed up. Every time I try to start something, you're butting in with some idea. Every time that you want to do something, we have to push through to the bitter end with the bit, even if it's a disaster, because we just simply must do it, or poor Margaret is being treated terribly because she's a woman. You know, you play that sex card like I've never seen anybody play it. You play a poor me card, and...
Don't you know that girl? Is that Christine Blackburn?
Who?
Right there, it's Christine Blackburn.
Are you listening to what I'm saying, man? Or are you pointing out people on TV?
Phil, we've been down this road before. We don't need to go down it again, do we?
Yes, we do. What I was saying is that when you guys are talking about...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to kick somebody's ass. 877-876-7444. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. And so remember, folks, that the space... And I think that's going to be fascinating because the kids can go out... The kids can go out and see the space shuttle. They can go out and watch as it drives down the street and, you know, and the people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about this.
The space shuttle will be. Is that.
Yeah.
Jesus, my God, man, this is amazing. Hey, David, how you doing?
Because I heard Margaret, she had hit the red phone, and of course I had to find my way over to a cell area that where I could get some service, but she hit the red phone. And
David, I'm sorry to bother you.
Whoa, wait just a second.
I'm sorry to bother you, David.
What?
What is the red phone?
It's a phone.
Can I, you want me to tell him?
No, I'll do it. It's a phone that I gave to Margaret in case you... She needs to call me because you are doing things on the air that she doesn't think will make her look good. In other words, if you're doing a bad show, she gets to hit the red phone and, if need be, bail out. And
so she gets to hit the red phone and, if need be, bail out, meaning she can leave the studio?
Yes.
And did she just hit the red phone now?
Can I speak for myself? I don't like being talked about as if I'm not here.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I don't want you to get me into a sexual harassment lawsuit. I apologize.
Well, just watch your step. What is that?
It's music. We're going to a break.
You're a fascist, sexist bastard. You know that? Both of you.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I had no idea.
We're going to a break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret, I swear to God, I had no idea. I never, ever would have called up, and I never would have put you in the middle of this.
You lie, Hall. You lie.
Like a dog.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Margaret Gray joining us in studio now as one of our contributors, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. On the line from San Marino, California, joining us in a moment will be Harvey Weierman, an attorney at law, a man who's now retired from the, you know, the arduous work that he has done at the bar. And it's always a joke to be made there, Harvey, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. At the bar, they always make a joke about it.
Well, Harvey, you have you also served your country as a Marine in the Second World War, for which we will forever be indebted.
I appreciate that very much.
And you also came through the ranks with F. Lee Bailey, is that right?
Well, we were both put through law school by the Marines, you know, and Lee Bailey was, and then I got the bright idea that I want to be a lawyer as long as the Marine Corps was dishing out all these goodies, you know, send you to school. And
we should tell people you have a chronic throat problem, right?
Yeah, it's not what do you call it? My granddaughter, she calls it snot cancer. Isn't that right, honey? Yeah, she's a beauty. This is my little granddaughter. What's your name, honey? What is it? Nunuibi? Yeah, her name is what is her? I forgot my granddaughter's name, for Jesus Almighty. What's her? Hey, ask Terry what the kid's name is. No, I'm not kidding you. I don't know what the kid's name is. Bonnie, I knew her name was Bonnie, honey, come here. Grandpa wants to, you want to be on the radio. Do you want to be on the radio tonight? Do you want to be on the radio tonight? All right, she doesn't want to be on the radio, so.
Well, it's a little late, isn't it?
What? It's a little late for what?
She's a little, how old is she?
She's about three.
Oh, my, Harvey, this is Margaret. Why is she still awake?
What was that?
It's Margaret, Harvey. Why is that child still up?
She's still up because that's what we do at our house. We're not, she's a little girl. She's up. She's visiting with her grandfather. What is it with you? You know, you guys got to get off this whole kick. Everybody is sticking their nose into someone's business, morning, noon, and night, especially when it comes to kids. Yeah. You know, and...
Well...
I...
Harvey, I'm sorry. Look, I'm a mother, and my only reason for asking is I know the children need sleep. You know?
Yeah, I know you're a mother, Margaret. And with all due respect, you're always telling everybody that you're a mother. Hey! You know?
Well, at least I'm not on the phone every night with Phil going, hey, and making these sounds that sound as if you have autism. You know?
What are you talking about? I have a phlegm problem.
You sound as if you have autism. You sound like one of those poor children in church. Bud, you were doing it the other day.
Yeah, yell them, they'll go, yay! Yay!
What is he talking about?
He's talking about... Why did you... Never mind, Harvey. Just forget what they're saying.
Oh, forget what I am saying to you, Harvey, that you sound as if you are one of these poor, unfortunate children that are in church, and while the minister is giving the sermon... You hear them in the back going, eh-ho. You know what I you know what I mean, Robert?
Yeah, you'll hear them a lot of times going, ahoy! Ahoy there!
What do you mean, ahoy there? You're telling me an autistic kid says that? That's about the most... You want to talk glory? Now we're going down Glory Boulevard. Yeah, we're talking about... Yeah.
All right, this is a very unbecoming conversation and an offensive one, and I want it to cease right now. Number two, the way you clear your throat, Harvey, whether you're involved in some exhibitionism...
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, it is a very exaggerated thing you're doing there, and I'm wondering if you're doing it for effect.
Are you kidding me? Are you honestly asking me, Harvey Weierman, a guy that has... I spent... most of my days in a courtroom having to look at some judge that looked about as bright as a mailbox and then look at a pool of jurors that weren't much smarter than him. They all looked like a, you know, you get seven jurors, but to me, they were seven lumps of you-know-what. Okay? And then you got a court reporter. She looks like she's dead from the neck up. You got bailiffs who have dead eyes. I lived and breathed and worked in courtrooms my entire life. Hey, Mr. Henry, I lived in courtrooms my entire life having to hold my tongue, having to put on my, what do you want to call it, you know?
Well, having to pretend you were somebody you weren't.
No, not having to pretend I was, no, you didn't get it right. No, you blew it. No, having to hold my tongue and... And watch my, what's the letters in the alphabet?
Oh, yeah, you gotta cross your T.
No.
Yes, cross your T and dot your I's.
Right.
No, it's, I had to watch my,
You had to watch your butt.
No, it's the letters in the alphabet.
Your ABCs, isn't he?
No, I know what it is. Your P's and Q's.
Thank you. P's and Q's.
I've never heard that saying before.
You've never heard, you go watch your P's and Q's. You've never heard that.
She's lying. She's lying like she always lies. You know you've heard that.
Excuse me, I'm lying like I always... I've never heard that saying.
Well, it's very common, Margaret. Very common. I'm surprised that you haven't. So, Harvey, you spent all that time in courtrooms having to watch yourself, and you don't want to have to watch yourself now.
Exactly. So if I got to clear my throat like I have to now, should I get permission here from Her Royal Eminence, or can I go ahead and clear my throat?
Don't be a child, Harvey.
All right, I want you. Hey, there. Was that good enough for you? Because that's what I had to do. I didn't put it on. It's not an exhibitionism, and none of that. Now... The reason why I'm particularly angry at you butting into my personal life is because we've got too many adults in this country, and it's a case that I took pro bono.
Wait, per bono? Yeah, per bono.
No, you know I didn't say that. You two asses wanted to get in a cutie. You know?
Yeah, they did, Phil. I'm very offended by that, and they wanted to get their cutie in.
All right, watch it, you guys, okay?
Well, man, you're always taking her side.
You guys did that on purpose.
Per boner. It's pro bono. And I took this case because it was the case of a man, an elderly man, who had been driven,
driving.
You sure it's driving?
Yes, I'm sure.
He'd been driving his, he had a Ford Fairlane, a 1962 Ford Fairlane. And let me tell you something, brother, that's a beautiful thing when that rolls down the street. There's a lot of horsepower. It's got a lot of metal skirting. You know, the big fins, right? You know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, the Ford Fairlane, yeah, it had the big round taillights.
Right. And he's driving down the street, and some punk kid gets in the way with a skateboard or the razors, the little scooter thing. The punk kid gets in the way. The fin on the back of the Fairlane hooks the kid's T-shirt, and this guy drags the kid. Please understand, I don't think there's anything funny about it.
Oh, my God.
Now, hold on, Margaret. But the old man, it was his business what had happened to his car. The kid, it was about a 75 to 80-yard drag mark is what the police, I think, finally put it at. Now,
how was the kid?
The old man was fine.
No, the kid. How was he?
He was banged up. He was pretty banged up, but he was all bawling and crying and asking for his mom. But kids are going to do that to try to get the sympathy of what you did. You know, and my point that I'm trying to make is, there's an old lady there, and I got a statement from her. I deposed her, and I basically said to her, "Boy, you really love getting your kicks this way, don't you?" And she's saying to me, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" And I said, "Let me tell you something, Mrs. Van Vagen. I think her name was Vagina." And
vagina?
No, I'm gonna hang the phone up.
But why don't you just be quiet, okay?
That's what he said.
I did not say that.
How do you spell it?
V-A-G-I-N-A, but it is Vagina, Mrs. Vagina.
V-A...
I know how to spell it.
All right.
So I said to her, "You really love getting your kicks sticking your nose into another man's business." And she's, "What do you mean?" And I said, "This guy's Fairlane, and you know the kind of skirting those cars have. It hooked the kid's T-shirt, and they took the kid for a ride. And what do? You're standing on a street corner, and you're making note of the license, and you come walking over and going, butting in."
I think that's a perfect time for someone to butt in. Are you crazy?
Yeah, I think so, too. You know.
Well, I don't. As an attorney representing this man, I told her, "I can see right through you, lady. I look right through you as if you're the invisible man, except you've got breasts." That's what I said. And she was, "Don't you have a wonderful turn of phrase?" And I said, "Well, that's why they pay me the big dollars." So I said to her, I said, "Well, Mrs. Vagina, you stuck your nose into this guy's private affair."
Hold on, I got to ask you a question.
What?
How is this his private affair? He hits the kid.
Wait, whoa, there, sunshine. Hold on. Did he? Did he hit the kid?
Well, I mean, did you tell me...
Well, I didn't tell you anything. I didn't tell you anything, but you got to go blah, 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 blah. See, that's what you do, Phil. You and Ms. Gray and everybody over there at your little radio studio, before I can get the story out, you guys start in with the blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Give me... honey, Bonnie, get Grandpa. Get Grandpa some water. I said to get... Hold on, Phil. Get Grandpa water. Get Grandpa water, or I'll kick you down the hall. God, how I'd love to do that, too.
Boy, you are. You know what, man? Maybe we ought to let you go.
Why? What is up with you people? Boy, what up? You know something, Andrew? You've gotten real soft. You really have. Go get Grandpa water. I'm going to... I'm going to do to you what we saw that man do with the football on TV. I'm going to do to you what we saw the man, what the football did to the nut, the football did to the man.
You mean with the football, the man did to the football?
Yeah, what the man did to the football. Thank you, Robert. What the man did to the football.
No.
Don't say no to Grandpa because it's starting to wear on my nerves.
No.
Don't say no anymore, Bonnie.
Look, at you're getting sidetracked.
I got it. I got it. Okay, Phil, just back off. I got this. I'm on this, okay?
Uh-uh.
I said, get out of here, Bonnie.
No.
Get out of here, Bonnie.
No.
Get your daughter out of here, please. I know she's my granddaughter. Get her out of here before I boot her ass through that window.
What got up your ass?
Wouldn't you like to know? All right, there. You guys happy? Now I just threatened to kick my own granddaughter through a plate glass window at midnight. In my neighborhood in San Marino, a little girl in a little summer dress will be seen sailing through a window and almost... You know, the trajectory still going up as she crosses the street. And the trajectory only comes down...
Okay, I get it, man. So, this guy that hit the kid, he didn't hit the kid?
No, the kid came out into the street. And my client, Bob Fordova is his name. Bob Fordova, he's a neighbor of mine. And I said to Bob, he said, I didn't see this kid. He said, I only knew there was a kid hooked to the rear wheel well when I could hear the electric motor on the razor going, like the wheel was spinning and it wasn't hitting cement. He said, it was then and only then that I pulled the car over, got out, and I see kid, shirt, sneaker, and razor all tumbled together. And that's when I said to the kid, are you okay? And I heard, you know, I heard something come out of the kid. Okay, so he's fine. Meanwhile, this bag, this Mrs. Vagina, comes over. Are you laughing?
Yes, I am.
And you're laughing at her name?
Yes, I am.
I'm really surprised at you, Phil.
Oh, get out of here, Harvey. I'm not going to laugh at a name like that.
I love it, too.
Well, I expect you to laugh, bud, because you're one step up from an imbecile. But Mr. Henry...
Wait, what? Yeah, be more nice about it.
Yeah, okay, I'll be more nice about it. But you laughing...
Oh, well, you gotta be kidding me. V-A-G-I-N-A, Mrs. Vagina.
Yes! Would you be happier if it was pronounced the other way?
Go ahead.
So I said to her, so you come over and you stick your busybody nose in. Now, I said to the judge... who was presiding at the... I said, look, Judge, we can save a lot of time and trouble. This doesn't even... You shouldn't even have to... This is garbage from beginning to end. My client is driving down the street. Some kid darts out in front of him. He gets his T-shirt hooked in the rear wheel well. The kid goes bouncing down the avenue on a sunny day. When my client gets out of the car, he sees a skid mark. Still can't find kid. And I said to the judge, I said, there's a skid mark... And there's a ball of kid sneaker and razor. And
what does that mean, a ball of kid sneaker and razor?
Well, you can imagine after you get done dragging a kid 50 yards, it's going to be all, you can't tell which legs is with which, and which, you know.
We have to take a break, okay?
Sure, I was hoping that you would, because I'm getting real tired.
877-877-876-7445. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Dan.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It was a little striped T-shirt.
That's the... It's the Phil Henry Show.
It's about as whack a story. You know, and I can never get these stories all out at once. So, Harvey, what you're telling me here is that this guy, your client, you know... drag some kid 50 yards, and the lady that got his license number, you consider to be a busybody.
Well, let me explain this to you, all right? Because, you know, we live in a society now where everybody feels like they have the right to walk up to you and say, is that your kid? Yeah, well, you know, I don't like the color of the bonnet that it wears, you know.
No, people don't think that.
Yes, they do. I encounter them all the time, you know.
I don't think people feel empowered to butt in when it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, Okay, Phil, you don't think. Now, because you're the talk show host, I've got to just back off and go, oh, yes, oh, you know, like, what are they doing over there in China? Or what is it? No, not in China, in France. They're like, oh, Allah, right? Is that what you got to... Is that what I got to do here?
No, I'm just giving you, I think, an informed opinion. I mean, if, you know, counter it if you must, but I think, you know, that...
Oh, counter it if I must. Yes, sir. Jeez, I didn't know we were in a debating... the debating society.
And... No, we're not in a debating society. We would be in a debating society with a guy who's going, ha-ha, every 3 seconds.
Go ahead, make fun of an old man who can barely breathe, okay? You having fun? You're making fun of an old man that can barely get oxygen into his blood. Huh? How's it feel? Kicks?
Harvey, I know you too well, man. Okay?
Oh, okay. Okay, man.
And I'm telling you that I don't think it's that bad. Now, if you want to give me an example...
I'll give you an example. I gave you the example of Fendercock. That's the name of my friend, okay?
I thought you said his name was Fendraw or something.
No, I just looked at the file. It's a much bigger... I didn't know. It's a long name. So
his name's Fender whatever, and the woman is Mrs. Vagina.
Oh, so you're afraid to say the guy's name because you're afraid of what, the FCC or some busybody jackasses that are listening to you right now? Let me just say to the people that are listening to Mr. Henry right now who may be offended by Mr. Vagina, not Mr., but I guess it would be Mr. Vagina's wife, Mrs. Vagina. You can all take a flying jump off a short pier. How's that feel? There, I said that for you, Phil, because you haven't got a pair on you big enough to say it yourself. And
all right, that's great, Harvey. Thank you very much for the insult.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, the truth hurts. And I'm telling you that out there in the world, and I'm speaking as an attorney, okay? I'm speaking as an attorney, all right? Okay, Phil?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What's with the yeah, uh-huh?
Well, you're speaking as a attorney.
What an ass. Really, I mean, God, I got to ask you a question, Phil. Do you have a postgraduate degree from ass school, or did you just take the undergraduate work?
Real funny.
I thought it was pretty good. So, the point that I'm making...
Yes, Professor.
Goodbye.
No, I'm kidding, Harvey. Come on.
Oh, goodbye.
Harvey, this is Margaret. I want to hear the story.
I don't give a sweet Jesus. Goodbye.
Come on, Mr. Wyman. We really do.
I don't give a damn. Goodbye. Why should I hang it up? Let me hang it up.
Well, Ms. Wyman, don't hang up.
I'm hanging up. I'm hanging up. I can't hang up. What do you want?
Well, now we're out of time.
Oh, great. So I'm stuck here in telephone purgatory. I can't hang it up. I can't go on the air. I got to sit here with this shoved in my mouth. I usually am the guy doing the shoving.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
You like that one?
Phil Henry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we're going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. It's too late now, boys. Nonetheless, it's nice to be with you. We're here every night, Monday through Friday. We're also online at philhendryshow.com with Phil TV in HD, which is our live video cast of each and every single solitary live show that we do. And we have as well philhendryradio.com, where you can download our podcast. It's free. You go over to philhendryshow.com, and it's a backstage pass, which affords you thousands of hours of great audio. Philhendryradio.com is a free site. We have 24/7 streaming material from our archives. We also have our podcast there, though, there for you to listen to and to get a sense, get a taste, get a feel for the show. And perhaps I shouldn't use that word taste as we as we pick through the news today after one of the most horrific bits of news that any of us have ever encountered. In its own way, it's probably more traumatic than anything you could possibly imagine. Even even the attacks of 9/11 had their own horror. But this thing that happened in Miami is something right out of, well, it's something right out of a psycho thriller of some kind, because it's real, and it involves mental illness, it involves homelessness, it involves being defenseless, it involves being defenseless both as a victim and also as the perpetrator. We're finding out is a man that could well have been either psychotic or, and I'm not excusing this, he might have been under the influence of a hallucinogen called bath salts, which, excuse me for being stupid, but and I don't think I'm alone here, but I think there were a lot of people who thought, can you take bath salts and like process it into a hallucinogenic drug? I didn't know that, but and that's the way I was thinking. It's silly, but nonetheless, it is true. And this has affected a lot of people in a lot of different ways. It's a national story. Joining us on the line from Corona, California, is Stephen Bozell, whose family is his wife, his daughter, his son. They have been following this news as well. Steve, thanks for joining us. As just a guy out there, and you and I are both here in California. Is there something about this crime that seems specifically East Coast?
I have to say that I'm listened a little bit to the commentary, and this is completely out of my experience. And you just said it very well. It's the kind of crime that you would think could be made up in that Hannibal Lecter, some sort of thing like that. But you never think that the sort of things is going to happen.
And yet, you know, with all the vastly improved communication and the need for news, we have, as I've often said, we have a million different ways of delivering information now. But there isn't a whole hell of a lot that people have to say. So what's happening is they're just news. The delivery of news has become almost indiscriminate. And I'm not saying that they should report things like this, but it does become national.
Well, I think you made a good point a while back, Phil, when you said that a neighborhood prank becomes a cause for national news because we think there's something wrong with our children. I think it was...
I think that was a story about an outhouse.
Yeah, there was an outhouse that had been turned over, and a kid was inside it. And it's just a neighborhood prank, but that made the national news because today we take everything as some sign that the society is falling apart. But, you know, and I think that this one particular crime, though, has thrown me off.
And in what way?
I don't know. It has caused me concern as to the state of mental health, of drug use, and just what's going on. And it's thrown me off.
And when you say it's thrown you off, what do you mean? Is it tough to work?
Well, yeah, it's tough to concentrate. I was thinking of this thing all this particular crime all day long, and I had mentioned to Jerry, who is our executive secretary, that I was concerned about this guy in Miami who'd eaten the guy's face, and she said to me that yeah, she'd heard the story. When I mentioned it to her again just after lunch, she started to act, I think, a little rude.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, she just didn't want to listen. I wanted to talk to her, and I went over and I talked to Cliff, who's on our crew. I tried to talk to and I tried to communicate to as many people as I could what's going on and what's going down. And you don't really get the understanding because I think everybody's processing it differently.
We're talking with Steve Bozell about the Miami. They're calling it the Miami Cannibal case. What do you think of that?
I think that it's what that, and that's what it is. And
well, I mean, a cannibal is someone that consciously eats human flesh for, you know, in the last organized cannibal societies that I ever heard of were in the South Pacific for a way of absorbing the bravery of their opponent. You know, it was almost like a spiritual thing.
I don't know. You know, the cannibal is someone that eats flesh. We've had, you mentioned walking, these stupid shows, Walking Dead. I need to get myself together, and I don't know what kind of individuals are running around and what we're going to do about it. I know that I'm being manipulated by the news media. You mentioned cannibal. You mentioned I'm being forced into thinking a certain way that, you know, this is a zombie attack. And I know that that's happening to me, and I resent it because I do believe it. And as a result, I need to get my head together. And I think a lot of American men are going to be feeling the same way, or a lot of Americans are going to be feeling the same way.
All right, we're talking with Stephen Bozell from Corona, a father and a business owner, about the Miami attack. When you say that you need to get your head together because you've been manipulated, but you know you're being manipulated, if you know you're being manipulated, why don't you stop being manipulated? You know what I mean?
I am. Whenever I know it, and I know what I'm being manipulated, I can look at a newspaper headline and I can see Miami cannibal story. And I will say, that's them trying to manipulate me, and they have. Now, I'm scared, okay? If you check it out, it's really interesting, and I would encourage your audience members to check it out. Check out what's happening to you. They say Miami cannibal, and then you get scared. You know you're being manipulated, and now you're scared because you have been manipulated. And then the next thought is you need to get your head together. And I don't know too many people that are going to take the steps that I'm taking, which is to get out of town and just get off by myself so I can process this information. I've got a wife and I've got two children that I love very, very much. But I've got to get out of here because I'm afraid that this kind of thing may happen again. I don't know where, and I need to process this. I need to know, how am I being manipulated? Why am I still being manipulated when I know I am? And I also need to get clear of the major urban area that I live in, so I'm not, this doesn't happen to me. And so I need to process all of this, and the only way I can do that, I've got a friend who has a lot.
Just to interrupt you, Steve, you're looking to leave alone or with your family?
No, I have to leave alone. I've got to get away. I'd take them with me, but I don't have right now. We don't have the funds to take the whole family. I need to get out and process this. I wish I could afford to take my wife and my kids. I need to leave them back in L.A., and I got to get out of there, because if this is some kind of a...
Look, you know, you're sounding almost like you believe in some massive zombie attack.
No, I don't believe that. What I'm saying is, sir, if there's a drug, they said there's a drug, they're using a drug, you know, and there's other incidences of this. I'm not saying I don't believe there's zombies, although I do get scared of it because I've been manipulated. I can't explain it. I wish I could make the words come out the way I need them to come out, because
what I'm hearing you say is that you're very frightened by the event that happened in Miami.
Yes, sir.
All right, and you are being further frightened by the news media. You know you're being manipulated by them, but you're still letting it happen somehow, and so you need to leave town?
I need to get... I think when you say I need to leave town, it makes me sound like I'm some kind of a, you know, as we used to say in school, a CS. You know, a chicken.
Okay.
I'm not a CS. I just need to get out and process this at my friend's, who lives up. He's got a lodge up in Ontario, Canada. You asked me if I'm going to take my family. I know it makes me sound like I don't have no guts, but I can't afford to take them too, is all I'm saying. And I know what that makes me sound like, but I'm not that.
Well, if you're not taking your family because you can't afford it, but you can afford to send yourself, why wouldn't you send your family?
Well, I can't afford to send all of them, so I'm going myself. I know it's
like you're saving yourself.
somebody has to be saved. I mean, if this were to happen, someone would have to be saved. It makes more sense that I be saved, and I don't want anything to happen to my family.
I understand that.
But I need to get my head together because they're handling it better than me. And that's the only thing I can say about it.
All right, so this is not about you being saved. You need to get your head together because your family, which is your son, Stephen, you got your daughter and your wife, they're handling this better than you. You're in need of some...
Yeah.
Well, what about medication? What about hospitalization?
No, I'm not. No, sir, I'm not crazy. I just need to process what to do if this gets bigger than it is right now.
All right, let's talk on the other side of our break. Stephen Bozell is our guest as he talks about how frightening the Miami cannibal attack was to him. So frightening that he feels the need to leave town to get away from the city that he lives in and process this, get his head together, and calm down. His wife and kids remain at home. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With us is Steve Bozell from Corona, California. And we're going to be talking as well, I think, later on in this hour with Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, about the attack in Miami. Very gruesome, extremely traumatic to read about. And the first thing that I think everybody feels for the victim. And, Steve, what was your first reaction when you heard this story?
I want to say that I felt for the victim. I did. I was also, the first thought was that I need to get to a place. Your first thought is to get to a place of safety. I'm not saying that there's that this is going to happen to me. I mean, that was in Miami, but your first reaction, obviously, is to get to a place of safety. And that's why I felt that I needed, and I do need to get to Ontario. My family will be here. I feel really in my bones they'll be okay.
So the first thought you had wasn't for the victim, it was for yourself.
Oh, Mr. Hendry,
Well, I mean, that's what you're saying. I'm not judging you, but...
No, sir, that is not what I... No. My first thought was for the safety of that man, but I also thought of him. I saw myself in him. I saw myself in that man. And that troubled me.
All right, let me take a phone call because I know there's an awful lot that you're processing here. 877-876-PHIL as we talk with Stephen Bozell about the Miami, so-called Miami cannibal attack. Here is Trey. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Trey, go ahead, please.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know this isn't the first time something like that has happened that's been drug-related. Back,
uh-huh.
I read this about a year ago, and it was a few years back when this happened. I'm not exactly sure. Like I said, I read it a year ago, so I might not have the whole story in my mind anymore, but a guy was on PCP and broke into this girl's house, raped her, and then proceeded to eat her face and part of her lungs, and then the police found him naked running down the street shouting at the sky.
That's messed up, Steve.
Yeah, he was on PCP.
I'm not aware of that story. You say it was on PCP. What city? Do you know the city that that gentleman was in, sir?
I have no clue. You can Google it, though. It's out there.
Because this is what I was saying about this being more than one time.
But when you say more than one time, it's not an epidemic, though.
Well, no, like this was years back when it happened.
Right.
Okay, sir, this is Steve Ozell. When you say years back and it was influenced by drugs, it is possible that if someone is using PCP or any other kind of sedative hypnotic, of course, PCP is also a stimulant, that you can, you've heard, too, about how these people take their clothes off. And probably because...
I think they do that because they get warm. I think the body's temperature or something, or the blood pressure goes up, and they strip their clothes off.
Okay, but what was the other guy? His clothes was off. And my fear was that it was some kind of a gay, if it was a gay encounter that went wrong. So I think my people were drug influence.
Yeah, let me ask you, Trey. Do you ever feel frightened enough to leave the city and go someplace else to be safe?
Well, no, not at all. That makes me sound, Mr. Henry, like I'm.
Well, but isn't that what you're doing?
I'm doing it. I want to process it. All I'm saying is, this gentleman brought up one case where a man ate a woman's face. You had a man get his face eaten in Miami. That's too many. For me, and I think a normal, prudent response would be for me to check flights out of Los Angeles.
Even though this took place in Miami?
Yes, sir.
All right, Trey. Thanks for your call, sir.
What happens in Ontario?
Did you hear that, Steve?
What's that?
What if it happens in Ontario, Canada?
If it happens in Ontario, Canada, where I'm going to be in Ontario, though, sir, is away from the major metropolitan area. Are you saying it would happen in the wooded area, in the woods, something? That's where I'm.
Hey, drug users can wander around anywhere, right?
That's right.
Well, you see, what I'm trying to do is get away from it and process it, so when I come back to my family, I can feel like a man for the first time and not be scared.
It sounds but more like you need to go to a deserted island or something where there's not going to be any chance of anybody coming around.
I know that this makes me sound as if I...
It sounds a little cowardly, sir.
Excuse me, sir, but I would fight to the death for my family.
Then why are you going to Ontario to a lodge far away from everything?
I need to process what's going on. Are you not... Don't you feel that a guy eating someone's face is something you need to process? It is for me.
It's a guy who was nuts on drugs, who committed a heinous crime. Cops see it every day. It's sick. It's messed up. It's part of our urban environment today. The drug use is out of control. We have to get help for these people. That's what happened.
And if this guy finds me, like this gentleman says, in the woods of Ontario, and I get my face, you know, removed at a fishing lodge. Think about that.
All right. Trey, thank you, sir, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We are talking with Stephen Bozell. When you say at a fishing lodge, Steve...
Well, that's where I'm going to be. That's what I've told my wife and my children, that I would be there. I don't want them to bother me, and I know when I told your producer that, he immediately came back with what I thought was very rude. For you. He said, are you just going to go up there and cry and hide? I said, no, sir, I'm not. I'm going up there to get to process it and get my head together. And if you can sit there with news about a man who decides that the best thing for him to have for lunch, and I'm being funny, or at least not now, I don't feel like it, but the best thing he can think of for a late afternoon snack is to go ahead and have face. I don't think any of that, Mr. Henry, is anything you think about. I think you look for a place to go where you can process.
All right, well, the word process sounds a little bit like, you know, you're afraid. Stephen Bozell reacting, this man is reacting to the crime in Miami by leaving his family and going somewhere far away to get away from what he thinks could be an epidemic of this kind of violence. 877-877, I don't know how you leave your family if you're worried about something like that. 877-876-7445, this is the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Bad guys, you're having face.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, as we're discussing with him this with him as a father and as a husband, and there's others. We're going to have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on with us later. Talking about this attack in Miami, this vicious, horrific attack that... I'm sorry, we have... I'm just trying to... What do we got there? Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I just had a slight technical problem. Stephen, I didn't mean to leave you in the lurch there, sir.
It's all right.
We're going to take some phone calls, but the last comment we had was from someone saying that, you've got to go to a desert island.
No. What I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to educate your listeners as well as you, Mr. Henry, what I'm trying to educate you is there's a difference between being... processing it from a safe distance.
What about your family?
Okay, well, hold on. There's a difference between processing from a safe distance an event that is seems to be from a dream world but is real, and that is a man who's decided to eat another man. And that happened on a causeway in Miami, sir.
And, but what about your family? When you say processing from a safe distance...
See, again, this is a manipulation of the media. When they are telling me there's cannibal killers, and now you come along and you talk to me about my family. And you can talk to me about my family all you want, sir. But I know that the media has made it worse, not better. They come on and say there's a cannibal killer, or they go, they say, the zombies are loose, or however they say it, and you come on and you ask me about, if I'm going to man up. And all of this is a manipulation of the media, which is, that's why I need to process and get my head together, because it's a shower of you-know-what. It's a shower of BS. And
no, I don't think it's a shower of BS to ask that question, what about your family? 877-876-PHIL, because you are leaving. You want to leave town and get to a safe distance, but the family, your wife, your son, your daughter, are still here. Here is Robert on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? How's it going?
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hi. My dad, who's, my greatest hero right now, throughout my life, really, he told me something when I was growing up, and, obviously my voice, you could tell that I'm not very old. I'm 24. I own my own business. I'm in Newport Beach, but he told me that, being a man, it's not your age. I'm sorry?
You're in Newport Beach where, sir? Is that
Newport
in California?
Beach? In California, yeah. So, maybe an hour away from you. You're up in Corona, so I'm right down in Newport Beach. But, he says being a man really isn't the fact of being your age, Society puts a thing on being an adult, and adults is, what your age is, 21, 18, whatever it may be. But he said that being a man is the difference of, standing up to fear, to stand up to your problem. When you come to that brick wall, to break through it, you may not always be able to do it by yourself, but, with the support of your family, in your case. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what to do by any means at all, because, you have children and you experience a love that I, right now do not know. He said, with the experience of your family,
You talked about your father, and now you do not know the love. Well, I don't understand that. See, this is what scares me. Yep. And
he doesn't have a family as you do. He's talking about he loves his father, but he's not yet a father himself.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
So you don't think that it's a viable fact that being a man is actually standing up for your family? In the worst case scenario, you're going to be there. You're going to be the head of that family and lead them through the darkest of times. Even if you think that maybe like two incidences is the darkest of times, you're saying that you will leave?
Well, yes, son, but I don't mean to call you son. I mean, I realize you're a man.
Yeah, I know, that's fine. We're being
talked. And in a lot of ways, you're more, you own your own business at 24.
I'm a U.S. government.
See, that's again, and I have to ask Mr. Henry, do you know who this man is, sir?
Who's that?
The gentleman on the phone.
No, I don't know this gentleman.
Because I wondered if Mr. Henry had set this call up, because you owning your own business at 24, that makes me feel like
Because
I feel like less of a man. I don't feel like...
Sounds right?
No, I'm saying I feel like even less of a man now that you
but
have
I'm
your own business.
I'm a young man. You feel less
no,
of a
man. See...
Look, at Steve, you have said you want to leave town to process all of this stuff. You're leaving your family behind. You're challenged and you're, you know, feel inferior to this young man who has his own business. What's going on with you?
What is going on with me, sir, is a guy ate face in Miami. And both of you gentlemen think it's just another day at this beach.
No, I don't.
That's exactly not it at all. The grim reality is that someone got obviously a bad batch of drugs, you know, and I don't.
Or whatever. I mean, we don't know.
Right?
We don't know what happened, you know. Well, yeah, but we don't know what happened. He might have had a bad batch. The guy might be psycho. But you're right. You're right. There's something happened that caused. Yes, there's something happened that caused a psychotic event.
And that's why I need to process it. That's why I need to get it out of town as fast as I can.
And leave your family here. And that's the thing that is causing me some consternation. And I would say that your father was absolutely right, Robert, when he said that, you know, I heard it said, Mark Twain said it. It's not getting rid of fear. It's not being afraid. It's challenging fear and overcoming it, which I think is
correct.
What your dad was saying.
Would you say that way? I said it poorly, of course.
No, you said it very. You said it better than I quoted Mark Twain. Maybe if we had Mark Twain here.
Mr. Andrew, can you? You're talking to this young man like I don't even exist.
I was just complimenting his father, him on his father's tuition of him, of his education of this young man. I think it's a thank God we have fathers like that. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. But are you saying that I'm not one of them?
I'm saying
no
you could be. I'm saying at this particular time, I want to know why it is you want to leave your children and your wife, though.
Oh, that makes me some kind of a chicken.
You know what, Steve? Robert, thank you for your call. I appreciate it, man. Good call. 877. All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go here to Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell.
But I wanted to follow up.
Yes, sir.
You know, just responding off what the last caller, Robert, said, you know, just all in all, just listening, I just wanted to make one little comment. You know, I'm a trucker. I travel all across the nation. You know, after hearing that incident about the guy getting his face ate off, in no way, shape, or form did I feel that my family was a farmer up in Ohio. And the same thing after the Jeffrey Dahmer, another cannibal, fisted, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
that's a good point.
Did the caller, did he up and move away after that happened? Or, I mean, what, is he just find a different, you know, thing?
When the Jeffrey Dahmer incident happened, I delayed. I was engaged to be married, and we delayed the engagement because I felt I didn't know what was going to happen. And
wait, you delayed what?
I'm sorry, I said delayed. We delayed the marriage. I was engaged, and we had a scheduled marriage. If you remember, the Dahmer incident happened sometime in September of I think it was 91. And I were 90, and we were supposed to be married that month. And I put it off because I needed to check that out. What's going on with that?
So the answer, yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
I don't think it's the cannibal thing is the issue. I think there's an underlying issue that he has to deal with, and I just think he, in my own opinion, that he's using this. You know, as a cover-up for another issue. Like I said, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much, sir. Drive carefully. Yeah, drive carefully, too. That's Joe. All right, so there's a couple of opinions that essentially...
what they're essentially saying is that I don't have the, you know, I don't have the sand, and I anticipated that because, again, the media manipulation that's gone on, for me to walk by a newsstand and I see zombies on the loose, or they don't...
There's no headline that says that.
No, I know that, but that's what I see because of the manipulation. But I thank God, Mr. Henry, I'm above intelligence, or I'm above the intelligence. How do you...
You're above average.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry. That I know I'm being manipulated when I see a headline like that. And also... So I know I'm being manipulated as I am being manipulated. Now, when Jeffrey Dahmer was on the loose and was
you know, the horrible things that he did. He had vats full of all kinds of human organs and was out in public, you know, eating the stuff or whatever he was doing.
No, he wasn't. He was in his apartment.
Okay. That was when April and I were going to get married, and I postponed the marriage. I walked in the middle of the reception hall. They were decorating the reception hall, and I'd seen the news, and I was stunned. And I was so stunned that I remember I'd seen the news about this man in Milwaukee, and he was eating God knows how many boys, and I remember being so stunned that I drove, and I really didn't know where I was going, but I found myself driving to the reception hall where April and her mother and her sisters and friends were decorating the reception hall. And I walked in, and I said to them, are you having a good time? And they said, yeah. And I said, really enjoying what you're doing? They said, yeah. I said, well, guess what? It's off. And
so you walked in there and were a big party pooper. You just...
I didn't mean to be, but I had to say to them, I thought I was trying to soften the blow, but I guess I wasn't.
No, I'd say that you weren't. I'd say that what you did to them, what you did to your wife-to-be, was probably disappointed the living hell out of her. You know, I actually know somebody that happened to, a good friend of mine, and they were two very good friends of mine. And she, but at the time, it's a long story. So go ahead.
No, I want to hear it.
No, I don't want to tell you the story. So go ahead.
So I got back in my car after I told April it's off. And I got back in my car and I drove and drove. I must have drove for hours. And she finally reached me at I had stopped up here in Tracy in Northern California. I was in Tennessee at the time, so I don't know where. But I had stopped and to get the onion roll they got at that one place. I think it's called Hague's Ranch. Do you know the place, Phil?
No, I don't know the place. I don't really know where you're going here.
They've got an onion loaf.
I don't give a damn if they got an onion loaf. I'm asking you what this has to do. The Jeffrey Dahmer thing stunned you?
Yes, sir, it did. It stunned me and it hurt me. You can hear my voice. You know, I'm trying to tell you, I'm a man. I'm a man like any other man. And I thought I'd come on your program to say that I'm a man. And all that's happened is I've had other guys call up, and they're more man than me. And one of them was 24, and he runs a lemonade stand or something, and he's got it hanging lower and heavier and deeper. He's got 9 pounds of...
Okay, hold on. Let's take a break, because this is a caller who's, you know, there's all kinds of mental illness. Some of it may just be a slight neurosis. I think that's what we have here. Although this guy is allowing himself to be driven out of town from the fear of what happened in Miami and leaving his family here. And he doesn't see that as anything other than what it is. A real act of cowardice. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we will be right back right after this. Jay Santos coming up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with us here is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. We will have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in a moment to talk further about the incident in Miami. Very gruesome. During our pre-show, we showed some of the coverage from one of the national. I believe it was actually a British newspaper, and as you well might imagine, Miami news is important in Great Britain because there's a lot of people that vacation in South Florida. And the coverage that they gave to this was extensive. They showed as much as they could of the crime scene, and it was just horrible. We're talking with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, and his fear that this could be some sort of an epidemic. He's decided to leave town.
Right, yeah, and sir, you know, Mr. Andy,
I'm not interrupting you, sir. I just want to finish this. Decide to leave town to process this.
Yes, sir. And what has happened, I think, is people have misunderstood, and they think that I've got no, you know, if I can say that I got no balls.
Well, I don't think you've made a very good case in the other direction. I'm not necessarily believing that that's true about you. Okay, let me go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. This is Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're on the air.
Not to disrespect you in any way about your manhood. Everybody has different levels of manhood. What I think you should do is just, if you're going to leave your family behind, then go ahead and do it. Stop keeping them lingering. Because I think you're going to end up hurting them more by just sitting there saying, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go, or I'm going to go. Just go ahead and go. So the people can start.
Well, but you're making it sound like I'm some kind of a CS because you went, because of the way you said
I'm
that.
Not.
Huh?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get you to understand that you just need to go ahead and do it because I think you're going to end up hurting them more by just sitting there keeping them in limbo. Well, at least if you make the move to decide to go ahead and leave, well, then at least they can begin the healing process.
Why don't you do that, Steve? Why don't you just go ahead?
Well, what do you mean by a healing process? Is that so my wife goes out and finds some other... What are you talking about?
That's her choice. That's her choice. You chose to leave. She chose to find something else.
Oh, boy. No, that's not why. I'm not saying to her that she gets to go out and go to, you know, go to the barnyard dance or whatever she's going to do. I'm just saying I need to process. See, this is why people are misunderstanding me, Phil. And,
well, Steve, the effect of...
I'm just saying, just do it. Just go ahead and make the move. What happens
but you're... Well, you're saying that when I make the move, that my wife is free to go to the borderline and dance with every guy...
No, you said that. I didn't say that. I said if you're going to make the move, let the healing process begin. Let her pain heal because obviously you're hurting them by just keeping them in limbo by saying, yes, I want to go, but you know what? Let's go ahead and put it on the media,
I do.
On the radio show, and let's do this, that, and the other. So everybody can talk about it instead of making the move.
Yeah, that's right. You got your stuff out in public here.
You know, Mr. Henry, I'm having a hard time deciding. The last couple of days I've asked my family to weigh in. Should I leave? Should I not?
And you're asking your family to weigh on you.
You know, and I'm
in limbo.
What am I supposed to?
What are you afraid is going to happen, man?
I'm going to get attacked, or there's some kind of—I don't know what this is. I don't think any of us do.
I know what it is. It's another crazy ass who was either on some psychosis-inducing drug or psychotic himself. It's an unbelievably unacceptable thing. Nonetheless, the result of mental illness. Maybe bad parent. You know, I doubt that. But I mean, I think the guy's passed, you know.
Okay, well, that guy's making a joke. And you. Why are you guys so relaxed about it?
Well, what is it with you?
We're not keeping our family in limbo. You are. You need to get out and let them start healing either way.
Well, I would have to ask you at this time, sir. Do you live in... Do you live in the Los Angeles area, sir?
I live in Fresno.
Okay. See, you know, I leave town, and you're going to come swooping in, and you're going to, you know...
He's not talking about that. He's talking about get this thing moving along. You're going to do one thing or the other, because then people can make decisions. I appreciate your call very much, sir. It's Joe, right? Joe? Thank you. Our number, 877-876-7445. This is Orlando on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Orlando.
Well, the thing is I can't understand what the confusion is. I mean... I have kids, no wife, of course, but I do have my kids. I couldn't see or imagine something happening that bothered me, worried me enough that I would leave, but I would leave my children.
Right.
Well,
nothing
not leaving.
In this world would make me leave my children.
What about a guy, okay... What about a guy eating your face and you're nude? What about you nude? God.
What is that? What kind of a question is that? What kind of a question?
What happened to that guy? That guy was nude and his face is gone. Now, if that's going to happen to you, I'd take my chances in the woods of Ontario.
Well, you know what? They may find you up there, too, Steve. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
God, man.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, I just... Very unfair. Very unfair.
Phil Henry.